I'd like to read in the first epistle of John, chapter 5, and verse 1, please. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of or concerning his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, the witness that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Or we could translate that last sentence, who believe on the name of the Son of God. Those are the ones who have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, we know that hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him, that God will bless his word. Just a simple word, if it can be that, from this interesting and profitable epistle of John. In the epistles of Paul, we read of the church, and Peter writes of the kingdom, whereas John writes of the family. It's a very difficult epistle to analyze, because this epistle of John, it takes up many themes, such as the character of God and the person and work of Christ. We have the world mentioned 21 times, and the word love is one of the key words 42 times, a noun of fact and a verb of experience. And the verb occurs mainly in connection with sacrificial and costly love. So love is not something that's an abstract thing, although it's the way it's brought out here, but something that's very practical. And John even describes that in chapter 3, hereby perceive we love, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And then, of course, there are many other words. We're not going to go into those now, but there's a little heading that might help you in looking at each chapter. In the first chapter, I would call it family fellowship. Fellowship with the Father, between the Father, the Son, and the children. Perhaps that is the key word of this epistle, fellowship. Whereas in the Gospel, it is relationship. We'll look at that for a moment or two, the comparison between the Gospel and the epistle. And then in chapter 2, it's family members. The fathers and the young men and the babes, the children, those who are newly saved. So we have development and security in the fathers. We have strength and conquest in connection with the young men who overcome the world, and the word of God abideth in them. And then the babes, those who are newly born again, those who have just come into the family. And John deals with those three groups in chapter 3, chapter 2. In chapter 3, it's family behavior. The behavior of the children in the family. Purity before God in the early part of the chapter. And then we find righteousness before man and love to all the family. So that's a little way that third chapter is divided up. And we see in chapter 3 that there are two kinds of persons. There's not a person who, one person who practices righteousness and the same person practicing righteousness and practicing sin. I think that's the way we can understand clearly the third chapter. There are two kinds of persons. One who practices righteousness and he is a born again Christian. He's got this new life. He is in the family. It's an habitual thing that he practices what is right. And the other practices lawlessness. And he is the one who is of the devil. The one who practices lawlessness. Every unsaved person, you might suggest, is not a child of the devil. The Lord said to a particular class in John chapter 8, you're of your father the devil. Now, we can't say that about a young believer. It's not the way John speaks about it. There's a parable of the wheat and the tares. The sowing of the good seed and the tares that were sown by the devil. The devil does positive evil work. He sows false seed. And the fruit of that false imitation gospel, we find the children of the devil. It's a definite choice. And they're not those who do not believe the true gospel, but those who believe the false gospel. Those who are turning away. And John, I believe, is dealing with the darkness. He's dealing with apostasy. He's dealing with those who have left us, those who have given up the truth, and those who are bringing false doctrine. So we find there are two classes of people in chapter 3. Now, it's good to notice that. John says in chapter 3 and verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, and neither he that loveth not his brother. Verse 9 of chapter 3 says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. He's not a habitual sinner. He may fall like a sheep would fall into the dirt, not happy there, but a sow, an unclean animal. I was corrected in that, but generally we think of a sow returning to its wallowing in the mire. The nature is not changed. But a sheep has a different nature. It's not happy in the mud. And a believer may, on occasions, fall into sin. But that's not something habitual in his life. And John is showing, in contrast, those who are truly born again and those who are not. Those who are what John calls the children of the devil. So there are two families. And that's what we see in the world today. So there's a distinction between the child of the devil and the average believer. I trust I'm right in that. If I'm not, I'll be corrected, no doubt, afterwards. So it's not those who do not receive the true gospel, but those who do receive the false gospel are said to be children of the devil. That could be qualified a little more. But here in this chapter 3, there we have purity before God. That's what John says, verse 3, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. The word of God is what furnishes the sanctifying power, but the hope of his coming provides the stimulus for living righteously. So the word of God is the power in the believer for living a life of purity, but the stimulus is our hope in him. Verse 2 of chapter 3, beloved, now are we the sons of God, the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall be appear or be manifested, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone that hath this hope set on him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So we have the power within us, the Spirit of God indwelling us, and we have the Word of God. You're strong, he said to the young man, the Word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. So it's a marvelous thing to have the Word of God. Our brother's been talking about the Psalms there. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Wherewithal shall a young man fence his way, but by taking heed thereto according to thy word. It's been said prevention is better than cure. Prevention is to hide the word of God in your heart that you might not sin. And the cure is, of course, wherewithal shall a young man fence his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. So it's good to have prevention, to obey the word of God. And when we think of the path of the wicked, it should guide us. In the Proverbs, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. And if we're tempted to take a wrong path, and we obey the word of God, as it said, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Obedience to the word of God will bring victory in the life of the believer. But where there's disobedience, it will mean we'll fall into sin, and we'll need the advocacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank God he's provided for that. Now in chapter 4, family triumph over evil, over error. In chapter 4, verse 1, the Apostle John says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, whether they proceed from God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Know ye not, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth Jesus Christ come in the flesh is of God. The gospel deals with the deity of Christ, whereas the epistle deals of his true humanity. And false teachers will deny his deity, and they will deny his humanity, that he has come permanently in flesh. The source behind false teachers, we find this evil spirit, or behind these evil teachers. That's what Paul tells us also in 1 Timothy chapter 4. In the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meat. Where does that come from? Celibacy and vegetarianism as a command? Well, it's all right to be celibate. Voluntary, when it's a command, as we have in certain denominations, and vegetarianism, commanding to abstain from meat, which God hath cleansed. We learned that from Mark chapter 7. Every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. So there are certain teachings that proceed from a satanic source, seducing spirits, and the believers to try the spirits by testing the person with the doctrine as to the source. And if they confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, it's of God. Every spirit that confesseth not Jesus is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. But ye are of God, dear children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's interesting in regarding the babes, it says in chapter 2 and verse 20, But ye have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One, from the Lord Jesus. and you know all things. So believers, young believers, have the Holy Spirit indwelling them. They have the potential to detect what is wrong, even though they may not know all the details of the error that is being propagated. Family triumph over error. Verse 4 again, year of God, chapter 4. Dear children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now what have we in chapter 5? Family assurance. We are young believers here today. The gospel, as we heard yesterday, is written, these things, many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. But the epistle is written that you may know that you have eternal life. Now John says, regarding faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in chapter 5, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ brings new life. Now you who have put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, John says, chapter 5, verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Faith in Christ brings new life. Faith in Christ brings victory. Verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. In your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're an overcomer. Your overcoming is tied up with the Lord's overcoming. Once this word overcoming, be of good cheer, the Lord Jesus Christ said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. At 7 times, I think it is in John, or perhaps 6, we have this word, overcoming. So every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, according to John, is an overcomer. This is the victory that overcometh the world, our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? You have believed the testimony of God. That's what we read in John 5, verse 24. He that heareth my word and believeth him, not so much believeth on him, but believeth him, believing God's testimony regarding his Son. He that believeth him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. And faith in the Lord Jesus Christ brings certainty. That's what we have in verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Verse 13 is the one I'm thinking about. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. This is God's word, and we have assurance from God's word that if we believe on him, we will have everlasting life. So assurance can only flow from resting on the great facts of who Christ is and what he has done for us. And that is what John is bringing out of chapter 5. Who Christ is, the Son of God, and what he has done for us by his death on the cross. Now, there is a relation between the Epistle of John and the Gospel of John. The Gospel speaks of the deity of Christ, that Jesus is God. The Epistle speaks of the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was God who became man. John says, we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. The subject of the gospel is the Son of God, but the subject of the epistle is the children of God. We're not really called sons. Sons has to do with dignity and character, but John is dealing with birth. John is dealing with our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ by spiritual birth. That's why seven times we find this idea of being born of God. So we're children in the family. He's not so much dealing with our character as such, but he's dealing with the fact that we have a right relationship with God. We're in the family. We're born again. And there's certain evidences of those who are born again and in the family of God. So children speaks of spiritual birth, whereas sons speaks of dignity and character. Now, there are many evidences in this epistle that one could read and find out, well, am I really in the family? So one who is born of God, well, he has the family likeness. Every believer confesses that Jesus is the Christ. And every believer loves God. That's what John tells us in chapter 5 and verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. So a genuine believer will not only love God, but he will love his brethren. And the evidence that we do really love God is that we love our brethren. If a man say, I love God, and hate his brother, he is a liar. But he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath seen? I notice in the revised version, verse 19 of chapter 4, the word him is left out. We often use it, we love him, because he first loved us. But the meaning really is we love because he first loved us. If we love him that begat, if we love God who has given us life, we will also love those who have the same life, those who are begotten of him. So the gospel speaks of relationship by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Life can come only through relationship with the incarnate Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and with the Word of God that we have received. So the epistle then is written that we might know in our experience fellowship with God day by day. So the gospel has to do with our relationship, how we can obtain eternal life, and the epistle is dealing with fellowship. In the gospel we have life because God declares it and we receive it by faith. We receive eternal life when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Now, these are very simple things. Our younger brethren and sisters perhaps are not well acquainted with an epistle like this, and it's good to know that you can find out from the Word of God that you may know without a doubt that you have eternal life. And if all Christians love their brethren, they keep his commandments, they do not practice sin, they practice righteousness. It's not enough to be a negative Christian, we have to be positive. We don't practice sin as believers, we practice righteousness. And we do not love the world. John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, rather, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Love of self, love of things, and love of glory. And John tells us why we're not to love the world. The world is passing away and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abideth forever. There are some things that are common to all believers. Every believer has an advocate if we sin. Now, John is dealing with this question of fellowship, and he's dealing with the fact of our, he deals with the breadth of relationship, he deals with the basis of our fellowship, rather, that is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, but there is the possibility of the breaking of fellowship. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. As mentioned yesterday, the advocate is a comforter, he's a strengthener, he's one who acts on our behalf, he's the one who answers for us in the presence of God. A tremendous thing to have an advocate, someone to speak for you, someone to take up your cause. And here is one, the Lord Jesus. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ the righteous. As a high priest, he's like us. As the advocate, the righteous, he's unlike us. And he's the propitiation for our sins. Concerning our sins. And not concerning ours only, but concerning the sins of the whole world. So here's one who answers for our sins in the presence of God. And every believer has his sins forgiven. Every child of God has sins forgiven. What a tremendous thing. Oh, the happiness, as Paul or David said, of the man whose transgression is forgiven. Your sins are covered. And all are exhorted to abide in him. And all of us should be aware of being deceived, chapter 4. And we should love the brethren in reality and sincerity. And every believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And John said, my little children, keep yourselves from idols. So then, as we've brought before us this key word, this word fellowship. It's not a position, it's very practical, and to maintain fellowship with God, it means that we should be obedient to his word, we should walk in paths of righteousness, and we should exercise this love, the one to the other. And John says, well, if we do disobey, if we do commit something unrighteous, if we do not manifest the love that he talks about, if we sin, well, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So thank God that we have an advocate with the Father and every one of us in the family. And we should be manifesting those family traits. As God acts towards us, we should act also towards